Good morning. We greet you, bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ from the Lewiston congregation. Thankful to be here with you this morning. I don't come from a farming background, but I do appreciate the value of having rain and not as much dust. So I rejoice with all the farmers, and of course we who are not farmers benefit from the farmers, so we appreciate the God sending his showers upon us. Recently, I completed reading through Revelation, and a couple verses that stood out to me, which also bring forth the thought of the importance of water, are found in the last chapter there in chapter 22, where John shares this vision that he has from God. And it talks about water. And it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Just the thought of God having this water, pure water, refreshing water, satisfying water, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And just the picture that gives us of God's rich blessings upon us. And it's for the healing of the nations. And we think of all the turmoil and everything that's going on in the world today. And that will not exist in God's kingdom in heaven. There will be healing for individuals, for nations, for all who trust in God. And just jumping over to verse 17 of that same chapter, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." And that invitation is there for each one to receive the blessing, the forgiveness, the healing, the satisfying of our thirst as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I encourage you to do that if you have not taken that opportunity. The invitation is open for whoever will come. Our brother asked that we share this morning from 1 Peter chapter 5 and invite you to turn in your Bibles and follow along. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 7. Beginning with verse 1, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Beautiful words, beautiful contrasts between God and his leaders that he has provided for us, and our willingness to submit and humble ourselves before him. I certainly look forward to what our brother has to share with us this morning as we prepare for that. Let's kneel together as we pray.
Certainly thank Brother Dennis for his prayer on my behalf, and you as well for praying for the speaker this morning. It's much appreciated. I I feel certain in saying that there are people in society who wonder if anybody really cares. People in the world that might think that if I die today, does it really matter? Perhaps it's an older person who rarely, if at all, gets a visit from a child or their children. Perhaps it's a younger person in this world where they're searching for meaning in life and wonders if anyone really cares. That's society. But what about this church? Is there anyone part of this church body who asks that same question? Does anyone care? Does this really matter? Is my life really making a difference? It could be a mother whose job it is to take care of the family, and when school's in session, it's getting the children ready for school, and then it's taking care of the preschoolers at home. It's making meals and doing the wash and keeping the house clean, and that's one day's work maybe, and then the next day it's the very same thing. It starts over again. And that mother might wonder, does anybody really notice? Does anyone really care? Perhaps it's a father who goes off to work, does the same job over and over and day after day, and maybe wonders, is this really making a difference? Could be a young person in our congregation who's wondering right now, does my life really matter? Does anyone really care? And perhaps the best way to get answers to all of those questions is to ask another question. And that question is, does Jesus care? And that would be the title of the message this morning. And perhaps a good way to begin answering, does Jesus care, is to look for the little things in our lives that Jesus has proven that he cares about. Many of those little things in our lives have come to be known as God moments for Carol and I. Things that he does that says, hey, I'm here. I haven't forgotten you. I'm in control and I've got this. And because I'm doing this thing which may seem insignificant to some, it's to let you know that I can handle the bigger. Those God moments that God sends our way. But then there are the little things in our lives that God just solves. He wouldn't have to, but he does. He solves the little things. And it lets us know that, yes, he cares, because he's even involved in the little things in our lives. For example, as you know, Carol had several procedures for kidney stones done at the beginning of the year. And it was during one of those times that as I was waiting for her and I knew I had time in the waiting room, I wanted to get a bottle of Mountain Dew from the vending machine and to drink it with my crackers. And that was to be my early lunch. Very good for you, isn't it? But it was $2.50 for a 20-ounce bottle in the vending machine. A little costly, but worth it in those situations. And for the happiness that Mountain Dew bottle was going to bring me. So I made the trek to the vending machine with my credit card in hand. I had purchased this way before, so I was confident that I could do it again with no problem. And in preparing to make my purchase, I swiped my credit card, but it didn't seem to be taking it. So I swiped it numerous times. And finally, I figured it out and made my selection. The bottle was turned in the vending machine. That wasn't very nice of them, but it was. It was turned in such a way that I couldn't see the label, but I was pretty sure it was Mountain Dew. So I made the selection, and lo and behold, it was Mountain Dew. Except it was Diet. My heart sank. And then I looked, and it appeared that the next bottle in the vending machine was regular Mountain Dew. So I swiped my card again, thinking that I'd bite the bullet and pay $5 total to get a regular Mountain Dew. Pretty desperate, wasn't I? I know what you're thinking. Just be careful. You'd probably do it for a coffee. So I made the selection. To my satisfaction, it was a regular Mountain Dew. So I happily headed back to the waiting room with two bottles of Mountain Dew, one regular and one Diet. Well, later, as I was sitting there in the waiting room, I thought, I'm going to check my credit card account, check on those charges. And I discovered that I had been charged for both bottles of Mountain Dew. However, there were six additional $5 charges. All on the account for canteen vending. I suddenly came to the realization that the machine had been taking my credit card all the time. Every swipe. I paid $35.10 for two 20-ounce sodas, one of which I didn't even like, and once again my heart sank. And it did. So feeling somewhat sick, I messaged the credit card company, and I prayed. Now, does Jesus really, really, really care about $30 extra that I spent accidentally, but it was making me feel pretty sick? You know, later, and I'm pretty certain as it was the same day, I looked back at my credit card account, and that company had removed the extra $30. I really was kind of stunned that it happened that quick. Yes, Jesus does care about the little things in our lives. The God moments in seemingly insignificant things that God sends our way. It might be insignificant to someone else, those God moments. And then the involvement in our little things in life should help us to know that Jesus cares about the bigger things. Yes, he cares. The hymn, "Does Jesus Care?" It's in our green hymnal. It's such a beautiful hymn. It looks at some of the bigger things of our lives and asks if Jesus cares about us dealing with them. And this morning we want to look at those areas that that hymn deals with and are common to all of our lives. And let's see how Scripture helps us know that Jesus cares. The first verse of that hymn says, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained, too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long." So first of all, the first question is, does Jesus care about our burdens? Well, Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." We are to cast or to throw our burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain us. Literally, throw them onto the Lord. And he will not allow us to fall or to be shaken or slip when we cast them upon him. And you know what that means this morning? That means that when we cast our burdens upon the Lord, it then allows us
to handle those burdens because he is handling them for us. Does that make sense? When we cast our burdens upon the Lord, it allows us to be able to handle them because Christ is ultimately handling them for us. The scripture that Brother Dennis read in the last verse would be the key verse that for the message this morning, obviously. But the two verses before that, 5, 6, and 7, talk about humbling ourselves, and it's very important. And verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And casting, again, throwing all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And he didn't say, cast the big ones or the little ones upon me, but he says, casting all. A-L-L. How was it? It was a brother Fred that used to say, all means all, and that's all it means? I'm not sure. Brother Larry, I don't know if you remember that. It runs my mind that your father said something along that line in defining the word all. All means all, and that's all that it means. So we are to cast all of our care upon him, or our concerns for someone or something, all of them upon him, for he careth. And you know what the meaning there is? You are of interest. You are of concern of his. You are of interest to Jesus. He cares about you, so you are to cast your cares, your anxieties upon him. Another translation says it this way: you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. I like that. It's true. We are his personal concern. We are to humble ourselves first, and then we are in a position to throw upon Jesus all our cares because he does care. He does care. Now let me share with you another personal example. It was a tremendous burden that came upon us recently. And I'm going to be transparent and tell you that I didn't always handle this burden the way I'm admonishing us to do this morning. So, as it is, the preacher needs the sermon as much or more than the listeners. But physically, I think you know, I've shared that with you, that my cancer is in remission, the cancer in my kidney. So I'm in a state where I can pursue another kidney transplant. I still receive the chemotherapy, but not quite as often, kind of like a maintenance to keep it where it's at. And of course, I still receive dialysis 3 days a week to do the work of my failing kidney. But another burden that was not physical came into our lives. And here's what it was. Very few of you know this, so I'm going to share it kind of briefly. But I was placed on Medicare without me knowing it and without me wanting it. I'm not old enough to be on Medicare, not quite, but I can be on it due to having the end-stage renal disease. And the reason I didn't want to be on Medicare was because I knew it would affect my other insurance, which it did. I had already met the out-of-pocket maximum on my other insurance because of all the things that are going on. Plus, it was much cheaper in premiums to pay for, but now I was being forced to keep the Medicare, which would cancel my other insurance. That meant I had to, and by saying Medicare, I had Medicare Part A, and if you don't know anything about Medicare, this will all be gibberish. But I needed part B to go with that part A. I didn't have part B. And it also meant that I needed supplements, and all of this needed to be in place, hopefully, before my other insurance was canceled. So the most important domino to fall was Medicare Part B. Without that, the supplements were not effective. And that's what we needed. So let me tell you now, or insert a God moment. At Carol's part-time place of employment, she has some friends who come on a regular basis to make purchases. And this mother and father and grandmother have been a blessing to Carol and I, and she's done some baking for them and so on. So it's a good relationship. And through this relationship, they told us of a relative who was a paralegal. And if we ever needed help, let them know she could help us. Well, little did I know, or did we know, that a week and a half later, I would have an insurance issue, a Medicare issue that we needed help with. It was a God moment. Because we contacted her, this paralegal, and she was glad to help us, and she has been a godsend. When we started on this process, it was just into April. I had missed the cutoff date for getting Medicare Part B, so that complicated things, so we had to file a request of reconsideration. All the time, I'm wondering, am I even going to have insurance? Am I going to have anything? So obviously, it was very important that we get that Medicare Part B. We did what we could, the paralegal and myself and Carol, and we did all we could to extend the prior insurance, but it was to expire at the end of May. It looked like I was going to get the Part B, but it needed to be on my account to continue my health care at Mayo Clinic and the Cancer Center at York. It all shut down at the end of May because they didn't see Medicare Part B on my account. It was a great burden, let me tell you. But God had given us the God moment, letting us know that He had this in control. But unfortunately, I struggled. I still struggled with it. And I want these words were so applicable to me. I want to share them with you, and it says this. Dear Heavenly Father, well, it's 2 a.m. I know we talked a while ago, but here I am again. I hope I'm no bother, but I'm wide awake. I've got a lot on my mind, and all I know is you're the only one up this late. I hope you don't mind listening for a little while. Dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I've done all I can, and the only rest that I'm going to find is if I leave it in your hands. And Lord, I wonder, some way, somehow, that you'll remind me of where I've been and how you worked things out. Because all I have is faith right now, dear Heavenly Father. Boy, that's where I was. And I know that you hear me, and I know that you care, and there's something deep inside that tells me you're already there. So I'm sorry when I struggle, and I'm sorry when I doubt, because never have you failed me, and I know you won't start now. So until I see you move, I'll just pray harder. So until I see you move, I'll just pray harder. Dear Heavenly Father. Well, the progress of a possible transplant at Mayo Clinic had come to a screeching halt. With no Part B on my account, I had to cancel some of my cancer treatments because my insurance expired and still no Part B on my account. And finally, after about 2 months of working on it, we were told that I had Medicare Part B. June 18th was the date she called the lady from the Social Security office, and it was effective in June. So my cancer treatments have started again, and Mayo Clinic is back in the process. And we're trying to see all of that. As God's perfect timing. Part of His plan. Yes, Jesus cares about our burdens. This morning, what are your personal burdens? And I know there's burdens in this congregation. Some we know about, some we don't. Some are so personal that nobody knows. But what are your personal burdens? Everyone has one or some of them at some time or another. Is it an unsaved loved one? Maybe a loved one going astray? Is it financial struggles? Relationship issues? Health concerns? Maybe it's health concerns with one of your loved ones. Perhaps it's job related. You can go on and on and on. What are your burdens? Jesus cares about those burdens. So much that He wants us to cast them or to throw them upon Him. He cares. Well, the second verse of that hymn says, "Does Jesus care when my way is dark? With a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near?" So secondly, does Jesus care about our fears? Does He care enough to be near? When my way seems unknown, you know, perhaps one of the scariest things in life is the unknown. Does Jesus care? Jesus said in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." That means He's a speedily, very, it means speedily He's there. A present help in trouble. I love that verse. He's our refuge and strength. The next verse then says, verse 2, "Therefore will not we fear," and it goes on to give circumstances that should not cause us to fear. Because He's our very present help in trouble. Isaiah 41, 10 and 13 are powerful verses. I know they're talking to Israel there, but it's for our benefit as well. It says, "Fear not," or "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And then verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Powerful verses. Ephesians 1, verse 11 says, "In whom," meaning in Christ, "also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." And what that means is that God is actively working things to His will and His plan in your life and in my life. He is working them. And He is in control, and He helps us know that He has complete knowledge and complete power. He's sovereign, as was mentioned in the prayer this morning. So we don't need to fear. Not even the unknown. Because He's working it after His will. Songwriter wrote these words, and they apply. I find myself with them as well. He says, "I've never faced a storm like this. My faith is running low. I'm reaching out for answers the only way I know. In the silence I am waiting. I know You hear my prayer. And even when it's hard to hear You, I know that You are there. You have always been my shepherd, always been my guide. No matter where I've wandered, You were right there by my side. The grace that always carries me will get me through somehow. You have always been my shepherd. So I will trust you now. Even in the unknowns and the fear of that, or Jesus cares. And in the midst of everything, I know this. I know this, that he's always been my shepherd. He's always been my guide. And no matter where I've wandered, he's always been there by my side. And the grace that always carries me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It will get me through somehow. You have always been my shepherd. So I'm going to trust you now. Yes, Jesus cares about our fears. Verse 3 says, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. So number 3 is, does Jesus care when we've fallen to temptation? Sometimes, you know, we may feel like David. When he said in Psalm 38:4, he said, for mine iniquities are going over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. But you know what? We need to go back and remember Romans 5:6-8. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly or the wicked. And guess what? That was you and me. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or introduced his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, Christ cared so much for you and for me that he didn't wait till we shaped up. He died for us when we were yet sinners and ugly and wicked, a dirty heart, a dirty life. Jesus cares for us when we fall into temptation. The reason I know that, because after all, he died for us when we were sinners. And he cares enough that he promises forgiveness in the familiar verse of 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? Say it a little louder. How much? All our unrighteousness. That's how much he cares. He'll clean us up and cleanses from all of it. Yes, Jesus cares when we've fallen to temptation. Verse 4, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? So number 4, does Jesus care when we've lost a loved one? When our heart aches? Psalm 147, verse 3, speaking to the Lord, says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. When Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus had died, Jesus comforted them with these words in John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Words to comfort them in the time of the loss of their loved one. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14 say, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring to him, or will God bring with him. And then verse 18 says this, wherefore comfort one another with those words, or with these words. Yes, Jesus cares when we've lost loved ones. And when we've said goodbye on this earth, so much that he's given us words to comfort one another with. He cares. Does Jesus care about our burdens? Does Jesus care about our fears? Does Jesus care when we fall into temptation? Does Jesus care when we've said we've lost a loved one and said our last goodbye? You know what? The chorus of that hymn. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. You know that this morning? Can you emphatically say, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. The God moments that he gives us are strong reminders that he cares. Scripture tells us he cares. Whether little things or big things, I know our Savior cares.
As Brother Duane was speaking in the beginning, he was talking about casting your cares upon Jesus and trying to illustrate that. And it made me think of an experience I had in, I guess it was 2017. I was in the Mack assembly line facility, and it made me think of the heavy pieces that the mechanics on the assembly line put on that truck, maybe a cab, the windshield, the dash, but they have a unit from the ceiling that is bolted to that carries all the weight, and they just maneuver it into place. And it made me think of when we cast our cares upon Jesus, and Duane said, then we can handle them. God bears the weight. He allows us to maneuver them onto him. And that just sort of stuck out to me. And then the song Andy led, How Great Thou Art, that is quickly becoming one of my favorites. And Duane was asking the question, does Jesus care? And as you look over that song, and we in awesome wonder at the creation, as we go through the woods and we hear the birds sing, get to verse 3. That's when we know that Jesus cares. And I think, and when I think that God, his son, not sparing, he cares. He loves us. He gave the most precious thing that he had, was Jesus. And I believe that in nature around us, and I'm not trying to, I agree with what Duane said. There's little things in our lives, but as we are out and in nature around us, we see God caring for the animals, the birds, and he didn't send his son to die for them. Should be a reminder to us that Jesus does care. In closing, would everybody that is able please stand for prayer?